T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We go back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. I know this man hasn't left town, but he did leave the Canes beat for a hot second. And I feel like all is right in the world again with Manny Navarro back on the Miami Hurricanes beat. Like, food tastes better. I don't feel like I'm living in a strange parallel universe anymore.
We got to get some of Manny's takes on food. I'm sure he would be more than willing to partake.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not to say this guy didn't do great work covering the Miami Heat, because he did, but I don't know, man. Like, for as long as I can remember being in this business, Manny Navarro was a Canes beat writer, and it's happy to have him back. He's now with The Athletic. Manny, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Very happy to be back on your show and talking Canes football.
Yeah, and a lot has changed since you were on the beat. There's an indoor practice facility now. Yeah. You know, Al Golden is no longer patrolling the sidelines. I mean, how does it feel to be a bigger part of this current era of Canes football?
I feel like I came back at the right time, man. I mean, in all honesty, I looked at my options. I could cover the Heat, who I enjoyed covering. Don't get me wrong. It was fun 3 years on that beat. Or I could come back when Mark Richt was starting to put this thing back together and putting them in the right direction. I said, all right, that's what I want to do. I want to be around the Canes when they climb back up the mountaintop. So, I'm happy with my decision, and I'm excited to be working for The Athletic.
I remember there was even a time, I don't know, a year or two ago, where I wanted to get Manny on the show. And I knew I wanted to get him on to talk the Heat, because that was what he was covering. But in the text message, because I knew I was texting Manny Navarro, I said, hey, can you come on at such and such time and talk Canes? Right? It was just muscle memory for me. And had to awkwardly write back to say, oh, I don't cover the Canes anymore. That's not what I meant to ask you, but I'm just so used to asking you on to talk Canes.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, that's what I was known for. I did it for, I think, almost 12 years with Susan Miller Degnan for the Herald, covering it together with her, and covered basketball. And then when Joseph Goodman left the Herald after his 4 years, he had the four best years, by the way, on the Heat, the LeBron years. I got the 3 years after that. After he took off, that's when I got the Heat job. And look, it was a great experience. It was fun covering the Heat and covering pro basketball. But this is where my heart's always been. It's been football. It's been the South Florida, base, the recruiting, all the kids that come out of this area that I've known for so many years, 23 years at the Herald. So I just feel like this is my wheelhouse.
And there's no shortage of stories to cover this year, Canes-wise. I mean, let's start at the quarterback position, Manny. You tweeted out an incredible stat on, Malik Rozier's lack of efficiency so far. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit. And what do you think the leash is going to be now for Malik Rozier, now that we're seeing, N'Kosi Perry get more snaps in practice and finally got a chance to play last week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was interesting to hear Mark Richt this week say that, they're going to play the quarterback who helps them win. I think for a while, he was sort of, throwing his support behind Malik. And I understand why. He's a senior. The other guys hadn't seen the field yet. They have to sort of understand the offense, be able to handle some complex defensive schemes. But what I wrote about today was just sort of painting the picture of just how, sort of behind Malik is in terms of other quarterbacks nationally in terms of accuracy. And some of the numbers that really stood out to me, forget completion percentage. It's on target. How many of his passes get to where they're supposed to be? And the area that opened my eyes was just when he doesn't feel any pressure. Because obviously every quarterback's going to be pressured. They're going to have to escape the pocket. You can understand when a guy throws a bad pass when he's under, duress. But when you look at Malik's numbers, I mean, he's way back in the pack in terms of Division I quarterbacks, not just FBS quarterbacks, but Division I, meaning FCS quarterbacks too, when it comes to throwing passes on target when he doesn't have any pressure around him. And that to me just, it sort of paints the picture of what's sort of holding this team back, because obviously it doesn't all fall on Malik. There's a lot of different issues this team has. The offensive line, they lost two important guys to graduation last year on the left side of that line. They've had to reshuffle it. They haven't exactly played great. But you look at what's separating Miami from becoming an elite team, and it's elite quarterback play. They need Malik to play better. Look, last year when they were 10-0, he wasn't putting up ridiculous numbers, but he was playing good enough for them to win games.
Right.
And that's what they need him to do again. They need him to get back to just not hurting them, not missing open receivers, making the plays that he's supposed to make. If he does that, then you know what? He's a good starter for Miami. But if he's the guy who we've seen here over these last five starts with the three dating back to last year, then you're going to see Miami struggle. And so I hope for Malik's sake, because I really like the kid a lot, I hope he can somehow get back into a better groove and this offense can get back into a better groove.
You know, Manny, people have been texting me about on the road in Toledo at noon being a trap game. What should concern Canes fans most about this matchup on Saturday?
Well, I mean, look, I think we saw against LSU what happened when Trajan Bandy went down. There's a pretty big gap between the number two cornerback on this UM roster and the number three cornerback, who's Javonte Dean, in terms of just guys that who can make plays and that you can really trust in the secondary. Well, I love the freshmen that they've recruited, Al Blade, DJ Ivy. I love the guys that are going to be in this program for the next few years. They're still true freshmen. I mean, they're still just getting their feet wet. And this receiving core for Toledo is really good. They've got three experienced guys who all racked up a tremendous amount of catches last year. And look, this is a hungry football team. They won the MAC championship, won 11 games last year. You're going into a stadium that, yes, it's only, I think, 30,000 deep, you know, but it's a place that's sort of been waiting for an opportunity like this. And I looked it up. Toledo, I think, is 8-3 against top 25 teams ranked 18 or higher. When they play the higher ranked teams, wow, not very good. But 8-3 when they play teams ranked 18th or higher. And this is a Miami team that, let's face it, yes, they were ranked 8th in the preseason, but we've seen with Malik that they're, you know, on the edge of being a top 25 team. So to me, this is a dangerous game for all of those reasons. They're a well-coached team. Jason Campbell does a good job. They make plays on special teams. So this is, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you want to talk about trap game, this is it.
So, you know, Manny, 2 years ago, the Canes played a road game at Appalachian State. They're playing a road game at Toledo this weekend. I understand why they do this, because you save a ton of money when you schedule a home and home versus just having the team come to your place for a one-off. But you don't see a lot of big programs schedule home and homes with teams like Toledo and Appalachian State. Is this ever going to stop, or is this just the reality that, you know, Miami football, they have less donors than some of the other big programs, so they have to save money where they can?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the way it is for a private school in Coral Gables. I mean, Miami, as much money as they've been able to raise, and you got to give their administration a ton of credit for what they've been able to do to build that indoor practice facility and everything else, and pay for better assistant coaches, they're not flush with cash, okay? They're not the Alabamas and the Michigans and the Texases of the world. This is a private school that has to raise its money, and you saw it this summer. You saw it when their defensive line coach went to Alabama. Alabama opened up the checkbook and made sure to take them away, and so Miami was in the middle of paying for that indoor practice facility. I'm sure they opened the wallet to keep Ron Dugans and probably gave Manny Diaz more incentives to stick around. But, I mean, this is the way college football is. The schools with money are going to be in a better position than you are. And so that's why the Canes have to do this. That's why they schedule this way. And this game, from what I understand, was, like, scheduled 10 years ago. So,
yeah.
This has been in the books for a long time, and it's just part of the deal. They can't act like Alabama and Michigan and everybody else and just say, hey, come to our house and that's it. They've got to return the favor.
Amon Richards not going to play this week. Now, right now, this is looking like Jeff Thomas's receiving core. But, I mean, how much can they use Amon back once ACC games start?
Well, I mean, look, you're talking about a veteran guy who's uber-talented, who's got first-round NFL talent, you know. But Amon has to sort of prove, I think, to NFL scouts now, after what he went through last year and then getting hurt, you know, in the first game, that he can stay healthy. Because as soon as you have that second injury, the antenna goes up, right? I mean, scouts start to look at you and say, is this guy just going to be injury prone? Should we really invest? So to me, Amon's got to prove it. He's got to come back. And look, he's got some good receivers that are playing right now while he's out. I think Brian Hightower, I think Pope, the other freshman they got out of Miami Southridge, and those guys are legit freshmen. Those freshman tight ends look really, really good. And Jeff Thomas has just been otherworldly, you know, outside of running too fast on routes every now and then.
I'm sure that wasn't an excuse or anything. Now,
Lorenzo
Lingard, his biggest run against Savannah State, he was virtually untouched. I mean, he made the great moves to get himself into space, but that wasn't a huge test for him. But Lingard, I mean, listen, his reputation, he's a five-star recruit. He's got track speed. He's also a track star. I try not to overreact to what I saw him do against Savannah State, but I've got to think Lingard is going to end up being a pretty big part of this offense.
Well, he's got to be. I think probably by the halfway point of the season, if you can teach him how to pass protect and you can trust him back there, then you can put him on the field. That's always the issue with running backs. I mean, Don Solinger, that's all he used to talk to me about back in the day when he was coaching the running backs years. I'm not going to put a guy out there who can't protect the quarterback. And so as good as Lingard is, until he gets that part of the job down, I think you're only going to see him sparsely. You're going to see him maybe Mark Richt figures out a way to get him on the return team. Maybe he runs a reverse for him. I don't know, but he's a kid that has to be on the field eventually. He's obviously gifted. He's got great vision, great explosion. And, I mean, look, you put him and Jeff Thomas together on the field. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm, like, urinating down my leg. I mean, those two guys are just unbelievably fast and gifted. And so they've got to figure out here in the next 2 years how to get those guys on the field together and just let them expose defenses.
Now, I don't know if The Athletic ever asked you to make predictions, but on Sports Talk Radio, this is how I make my living, Manny. How do you think this game Saturday in Toledo is going to play out?
Well, I think it's going to be a nail-biter, and I think a lot of it's going to have to do with Malik and the passing game, and how comfortable he looks and whether or not Miami's able to establish a running game. Right? As good as Lingard looks, I think the starting running back, Travis Homer and those guys, they haven't run the ball extremely well. Through the first six quarters of the season, they've been averaging 2.4 yards a carry. To me, that's a little troubling. And obviously it's not just them, it's the offensive line too. But if Miami can get the running game going, take some pressure off of Malik, and he's not out there throwing picks, they should win this game. I would pick him to win by 10 or 14 points. But if he's struggling, man, we could have a nail-biter on Saturday. So right now, if you're asking me, my prediction, I'd pick the Canes. I'll pick them like 41-34.
Wow, okay. Well, let me throw a scenario at you, and just so you know, this is not sports-related. I got to get into a food topic with you,
sure.
Right? Let's say you're traveling to a Canes game. You're at a hotel, maybe in Toledo, Ohio. They've got a very sparse continental breakfast. You've got to choose between one of these two things, right? You'd only have one. Do you go with a biscuit or a bagel?
Oof. You know, most of the time, biscuits to me are dry. You got to get them at a good place, like Popeyes. So I'd probably go with the bagel, but if it's hotel food, man, I'm sure none of it is good. I'm sure you're going to probably have to look for a Starbucks or something else out there to get yourself a good breakfast.
Yeah, you see one of those continental breakfasts that are so depressing. And like you, I'm saying, you know what? I don't care if I have to pay like $8.99 for a tiny breakfast sandwich at Starbucks. Sometimes you got to do it.
Sometimes you do. You do. And that's what I'm going to miss about the NBA beat. At most of those hotels in the big cities, you could get yourself a great breakfast. Covering the ACC, going to places like Toledo, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to have that much luck.
Manny Navarro has taken his talents to The Athletic. Miami Hurricanes beat writer and columnist. Follow him on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Navarro, I don't know what that is. Manny_Navarro. Thanks so much for your time, as always.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.